You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I'm glad to be here. The sun's out. We're happy about that. Always in Chester. Believe the rain is always in Manchester, but you guys are always perpetual sunshine, 20 odd degrees, right? That's how it always is in Chester. And so good. We've been this week at our national conference, AOG. It's a denomination Audacious Church is part of, and our senior pastor is the national lead for the Assemblies of God. And 6 years ago when he took over Assemblies of God, there were 440 churches. Now there's 660 churches part of Assemblies of God. So God's doing amazing things across our nation. And this week he was prayed into his new role with national lead for Great Britain, but also part of the World Assemblies of God team now, with a specific responsibility for church planting for the whole of the world, which is quite a big role, right? So it's just a small thing. So he's doing that on the side. And but seeing God do incredible things, the Assemblies of God is the largest Pentecostal movement in the world. And, you know, we're seeing right across the world, God is doing incredible things, but not just in other continents, in the UK. And this week, we've been celebrating what God's doing in the UK and churches all across our nation of many different denominations and different types are seeing God move, and churches are growing up and down England and Wales. There's been studies recently released about the impact of a new generation coming through and tired with the confusion and chaos in the world and looking for truth. And today we're going to speak about what we believe is truth from the Word of God, from the Bible. And if you're here for the first time, then I just encourage you to have open ears to hear, and maybe God could speak to you today. Amen? Over a few years ago, we've been in a new sphere of people and getting to know a bunch of people for the first time. It's quite an intense environment. We see them a few times a week. And it's really good because, you know, there's new people coming all the time and you're getting to know people who are just different backgrounds, live in different places, different circumstances of life. And one of the first questions you're always asked, which is great for me, is what do you do? And it's one of those questions that especially in for me, it opens up new conversations and interesting conversations. Because this question, what do you do? I say, I'm a vicar. And they're like, often they kind of look at me and go, you don't look like a vicar. And I'm like, what does a vicar look like to you? And do you want me to wear like a dress next week? Would that help you out? You know, my gown or, you know, a big cross or what are you expecting what's your preconceived idea? And so, you know, there's always questions that come up. But people, if they're meeting you for the first time, they might ask, what do you do? And we would, you know, understand that who we are is partly about what we do, because it often reflects something of what's interesting to us, our background or what our parents were doing. And so there's different aspects about what we do that does form what we are. But that's not the totality of who we are. And the confusion can be with life is if you wrap all you are up in what you do, then you can face different stages in life and you're left asking the question, if that thing's gone, then who am I now? Like if you are wrapped up in your sporting career and then your sporting career finishes, then who are you then? What's left? Or if you have been so involved in a career path and then, you get pregnant and then you're raising children in the home and your career's gone for a stage of life, you can be found asking the question, well, who am I now? Maybe you're a university student, you move away from home, and all the scaffolding of your life, all the structure of your life has been removed, and you move away, and you're in a new city with new people and new friends, and they're telling you to do certain things, and you can be faced looking around going, well, who am I really? You might be a teenager and your parents have asked you to put your phone away just for a few minutes. And you look in your hand, there's no phone there. And you could be asking the question, well, who am I now? Every single one of us at certain stages and moments in life, we can be found asking that question, who am I? And we're 3 weeks into this series, Big Questions. And today's big question is, who am I? I'm going to help you to figure out the answer to that question from a biblical perspective today. And you may be a Christian for a long time, but I really want you to understand more clearly who you are. That what you do is not who you are. What others say about you is not who you are. But God has something to say about who you are. You may not be a Christian today. You've just come to see someone be fully immersed in a hot tub. That I don't know if it was hot. Was it hot today? It was pretty warm. Nice. No bubbles today, but... And you might be here thinking, what's going on? What is this? Is this really a church? Is this guy really a vicar? But you might be asking the question, who am I? And I'm going to help you to just look at that from a biblical perspective today. So to help us, we're going to open up the Bible to right at the start, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 to verse number 28. Genesis chapter 1, God said, really important we understand that, God spoke and things were created. And here in Genesis 1, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in the image of God, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and over the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So God said, let us make mankind in our image. In the image of God, he created them. Let's just pray for a second. God, we just thank you for your word, not our words. God, we just thank you that on your word, we can build a strong, stable life in a world of confusion. God, we can have answers. In a world of chaos, we can have peace. God, in a world of questions, we can have truth. And so we pray, Lord, let your word speak clearly to us. Give us strength today. Give us answers today. Give us meaning and purpose. And may we be encouraged by your word. May it not return void in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Bible here tells us that we are made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, we've been created. The Bible is clearly telling us that God created mankind in the likeness of God. It says about mankind that's unique to the rest of creation, that we weren't, God for the rest of creation spoke, let there be light, he said, and there was light. Let there be, and there was. But with mankind, he didn't just speak things into existence. With mankind, he picked up the dust of the earth and he handcrafted humanity. We are uniquely made as the pinnacle of God's creation. And then God breathed his breath into us. And so we've got to understand that that helps us to realize there's something unique about humanity. There's something different about us. And God has made us uniquely handcrafted and God breathed. And so the first thing I want you to understand about who am I today is every single person in this room, whether you know God or not, you are a reflection. I am a reflection. I'm a reflection of God. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27, it says that we've been made in his image. And the original language the Bible was written in, it speaks about in the image and in the likeness. And the original words were tselem and demut. And these words mean that something that is similar to, but not identical to. In other words, humanity is made similar to God, but not identical or equal to God. You are not God. Just newsflash. All right? You're not God. But you are similar to. You are a reflection of the God who created you. In the same way, a couple of weeks ago, I heard the words from someone that was on our host team or security team in our Manchester building, and they came up to me later in the day, and they said words that put fear and dread into my bones. They said these words, "I've just seen your boys." Like instantly, I am thinking, what have they broken? Who have they offended? You know, what have they done? Because those words just instantly, my boys, they just do stuff. And so I'm just thinking this is not going to go well. I'm going to get told off right now. Just seen your boys. But what they were saying, they said, "I don't know if it was your boys, but I knew it was your boys." What they were saying is, my boys, they couldn't tell by looking at them and looking into their eyes. You know, they got dark brown eyes like me because one of my sons has bright blue eyes. They weren't saying about the freckles that, you know, when I tan later today, if I'm in the sun, the tan that I get is basically just all my freckles joined together. And that becomes a tan. That's how I tan. But they weren't saying that my boys, these boys had brown eyes and freckles because my sons don't have any freckles. And so they weren't saying they're exactly, we could just see that they're exactly the same features and they are exactly identical to you. But what they were saying, there was something about them, something about the way they carried themselves, the way they walked, the way they talked, hopefully respectfully, how they were. There was something they could just tell. These boys are made in the likeness. They are a reflection of the Father. And so in the same way, there are things about us that are a reflection that we are made similar to, but not identical to the God who created you. And every single person in this room, you are born to walk this earth as a reflection of God. And so how do we know the God that we are a reflection of is we read the Word. And in the Word of God, we understand that when we read His Word, we learn about the God who created us. But even more than that is we learn about the person that we are. Because the Creator knows His creation best. And so when we read the Word and we learn about our God, we are also learning about the person that we have been created to be. We learn about the purpose and meaning that God has created us for. We learn the picture and the narrative and story that we are just a part of in this generation. And so when we learn about the Word, when we open up the Bible, we understand who am I as a person. I am a reflection of God. Colossians 1 verse 15 says the Son is the image of the invisible God. When you open up the Word and you read the story of Jesus, who was 100% man walking on the earth, and at the same time, 100% God. He was the God-man, Jesus, who we know from history books outside of the Bible. Jesus was a factual person that walked the earth, that died on a cross, that was resurrected, that gave us a brand new start. And when we read the Bible and we learn about the life of Jesus, we are not just reading about another man that was created in the image. We are reading about the image itself, himself. And so when we know Jesus, we know the image of God. We know what it is to flesh out, to be, to walk the earth and live the God life that he has for us. As we follow Jesus, it helps us to understand clearly more who we are and what we are on the planet to do. And so I want to encourage you to understand, as a reflection of God, go to the source of the reflection. When you open up the Bible and you read about Jesus, you read about the image that you've been created, because I am a reflection. The second thing you can understand about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, being made in the image of God, is that I am valuable. Every person in this room is valuable to God. Whether you're ignoring him right now, you've pushed him away from your life, or you're trying to run away from him, God says you are valuable to him. Because you've been made in his image, because you are the pinnacle of God's creation, because you've been uniquely purposed and you have the fingerprint of God on your life, because he knit you together, because he handcrafted you, and because his breath is in your lungs, you are valuable to God. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. If we were to go for a walk this afternoon in North Wales, where's that hill near where you used to live? Whatever you said, that's good. I don't know, how do you say it? Morfamai. Molfamai. Famai. You guys know what I'm talking about. That hill. You know, it's got sheep on it, it's big, and you climb it. You could walk up the top of that, and you could look around, and you'd be like, wow, isn't creation incredible? You could breathe in fresh air, not like Manchester City Centre, you know, smog. You could take a deep breath, or you could go out to, where's the nearest beach to here? A nice one. Colwyn Bay, or... Yeah, all those places. And you could be on the beach and see the sea just rippling on the beach and think, wow, look at the waves, and think, wow, God's power over the sea. And it's incredible. You see of all of God's creation, or, you see the uniqueness of animals and just the wonder of, like, all of God's creation. And yet, as amazing as all of that is, you know, the pinnacle of God's creation, the wonder of God's creation is found right here in this room. You are the wonder of God's creation. You are the pinnacle of everything that he's made, is found in humanity. And so when we speak to each other and we learn more about each other and we relate to one another and we pray for one another and we care for one another, we are experiencing the wonder of all of God's creation. We're experiencing the value that God has put his fingerprint on humanity. You are valuable to God. In my pocket here, I have a fresh £5 note. And it kind of doesn't really look like it's been used. It's not got many creases. No one's written on it. It looks clean. It's tidy. And that £5, how much do we know this is worth? Yes, yeah, not rocket science, right? But the material of this is actually not worth £5. The material is not worth much at all. It's just paper, and I don't know what other, you know, things have put in here, but the material's not worth anything. But we understand that I could use this voucher and I could purchase something to the value of £5, but by giving this note over to somebody else. Because we understand, even though the paper's not worth much, it holds the value of £5. If I was to give this to my kids, they would be like, wow, we've won the lottery. I mean, this could buy loads of things. Well, maybe not today. I mean, basically buys you a chomp these days. In my day, there was 10p. I don't know how much they are now. whatever. This is worth £5, but if I was to write on this, you know, it's still worth £5. I could write on here 50p. I could write 50p. This thing is not worth 50p. It's still worth £5. I could scrumple it up. Now it looks rubbish. Like, it doesn't look fresh or clean. I could throw it on the floor. I could ignore it. I could discard it. I could trample on it. I could spit on it. I didn't do it. Don't worry. It's okay. I could use and abuse that £5. We could just leave it over there. We could say anything about it. We could shout at it. We could say, you're worthless. You're worth nothing. Yet someone else comes along. They see this. They pick it up. How much is that thing worth? £5. See, it doesn't really matter what's happened to you. It doesn't matter what words have been written on your life. It doesn't matter what anyone said about you. It doesn't matter how much abuse you've suffered. You are still valuable to God. And as much as those words or that abuse or that treatment or anything's been said about you or that ignoring you, as much as that's real to you and it's real in your experience and it impacts your life, you are still valuable to God. You still hold the value that He created you with. You still carry the words that He's spoken over and on your life. You still carry the value that He says, not anybody else says. I want you to hear these words in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. For God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, God, you, God, saw me. You saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. See, God spoke about your life before one day was lived. Before anyone said anything about you, God said things about you. Before anyone wrote your days and your future ahead of you, God wrote all of your days in His book. Before anyone saw you or laid their eyes on you, God laid His eyes on you. God breathed in you. He knit you together. He handcrafted you. You are valuable to God. You are significant to God. There is a reason and a purpose that you are here today. God has something for you in your future, and He wants you to understand Ephesians 2:10, that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created in Christ Jesus so that out of being a reflection of God, being valuable to God, that you can do the good works that God has created in advance for you to do. Would you just say those words? I am valuable. I am valuable. The last thing is this. I am responsible. Verse 29 of Genesis chapter 1 teaches us that we have been given authority, dominion and leadership responsibility, stewardship responsibility over all of God's creation. We do not serve it, it serves us, but we have been given a stewardship responsibility to take care of the things that God has spoken into existence. And so it teaches us to understand that our place on the planet is one of responsibility. That we are responsible for God's creation, and that makes us responsible for our relationships with one another. It makes us responsible for how we live our life. It makes us responsible for the rest of our days and how we live them. It makes us responsible for how we take on board the offense or criticism of others and what we do with that. We are responsible because God has given us authority. God has given over to us a free will decision. We've got to understand that we don't walk this earth as a victim or to anything or anyone other than that which we let have authority over our life. God, because you are a reflection of God, because you are valuable to God, God has gifted you responsibility and has given you authority so that you can walk in this earth understanding that you are a steward of everything that he gives to you, that you, everything that is in your hand, you can have leadership authority with. Every word of every other person, you get to decide what you do with it. So you know what happened right in at the start of the Bible in Genesis? We've heard about creation here, but we understand that because God put us with free will, there was a moment where Adam and Eve, created by God, handcrafted, God breathed, where they rejected the words of God. God had given them stewardship responsibility for the Garden of Eden. And he said, all of this is yours, except for one thing. I don't want you to touch that tree. It's like when you see a sign, do not walk on the grass. What are most of you gonna do? We just can't help ourselves. We just want to break the rules. And this was Adam and Eve. It wasn't too long before the Bible says that Eve took the fruit and she gave it to Adam. And in that moment, sin entered the world. Sin means missing the mark. You miss what God has for you. And they turn their back on the word of God, turn their back on the instruction of God in this moment. And it caused a separation between God and God's creation, us. But you know, one of the first things that happened from that moment was Adam did what we do, shifted blame. Because God comes along and says, what have you done? You've touched the very thing I said not to touch. And what is it that Adam says? It was the woman you put here with me. It was her. See, as soon as sin entered the world, humanity was just moved towards shifting the blame onto others, becoming a victim and not taking responsibility. And so we have to make a decision to be who God's called us to be. Not what our flesh screams within us to shift blame and to push blame onto other people. But no, I'm going to take responsibility. In our staff, Audacious Church, we've been over the last term or so, we've been looking at this book and extreme ownership. We've been trying to become who God's called us to be, that we don't shift blame, we don't say, oh, it's so-and-so's fault, or we didn't do this because somebody else didn't do their part. No. We, as Audacious Church staff, we're going to take extreme ownership. We're going to take responsibility. I've been practicing and trying to put into practice just my first response. If something doesn't go the way we think, is to go, what did I do wrong? What was my part in this? What did I not communicate clearly enough? How have I not been toward that person? What is it that I can learn in this thing that's happened? How do I take ownership of the problem? Not shift blame onto other people. It's so easy to do. I wonder if we looked at our own life. How have we taken responsibility? And how have we shifted blame? I want you to know today there is many things that we've got to take responsibility for. Yes, we've got to take responsibility of our commission, our purpose in life. But fundamentally today, we've got to take responsibility, not just for our commission, what we do. We've got to take responsibility for who I am, the condition of my heart. And every single one of us comes before God this morning, and every single one of us is individually responsible for our condition with God. I want you to know that you are a reflection of God. You are valuable to God. But I want you to understand in this moment, you are responsible to God. God who created you, knit you together, breathed into humanity. We walk this earth as an image bearer of God, valuable to God. Yeah, we may have walked away and ignored him for a while, but God, through Jesus, gave us a second chance today. And Jesus, at Easter, if you were here, you know the story. Jesus died on the cross to pay for that separation that we couldn't pay the price. He gives you a new start by raising from the dead. We've seen it in baptism. People going under the water, they're symbolically saying their old self has been put to death. And as they came up out of the waters, they're going to live for the new life that God has for them. And you can have a brand new start today. I am responsible. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you don't yet know Jesus, or you've been walking away from him for a while, but today you're saying, I want to come into a right relationship with God. I want to know the God that created me, that wrote about every one of my days before one of them came to be. I want to know him and I want to live for him. I want to follow him from this day forward. I want to urge you and encourage you. Don't walk away from today ignoring God anymore. Make a decision today to say yes to the God who created you. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. But just so I know who I'm praying for, if you're here today, you don't yet know Jesus and you want to know him today, you want to turn your life around today, you want to say yes to him, I want to encourage you, just so I know who I'm praying for, would you slip your hand in the air and put it back down again? Just give me a quick wave. Say, that's me today. I see you. There's others here. Just slip your hand in the air. Say, that's me today. Yep, I see you at the back. Others here, just join these people. Say, that's me today. Just pop your hand in the air and you can put it back down again. I'll see you. And I'm going to pray for you. 5 more seconds. If this is you, you're saying, today I want to say yes to Jesus. 5. 4. Don't miss this moment if this is you. 3. See, I see you right at the back. 2. Join these people. Say, that's me today. 1. Last moment. Don't miss out. Say, that's me today. I want to say yes to him. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord God, I just pray for every one of those hands lifted today. I pray today would be a brand new start. Lord, I pray as we've spoken about your word, that you would just show them that you are real. Lord God, by your presence, you'd fill them right now. May they know Jesus today. As they look to you, I pray, God, that they would know, Lord, today that they have been created in that image. They're a reflection, that they're valuable to you. And as they live this life following you, they would understand, I'm responsible. I'm going to live for you from this day forward. We thank you for a new start today for all of these people in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Can we give these people a massive round of applause? In a couple of minutes, we're just going to help you with just the next step of what the best thing to do next is. We're going to give you a Bible at the end of the service as well. The last thing I wanted to say and help you to understand now, for those people that just raised their hand, you're included in this now. The last point is simply this. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. When you say yes to Jesus, when you turn away from ignoring him and you say, I'm going to follow you, God says that you are adopted into his family. And right now, God adopts you into his family. You are a son, the Bible says, of God, a co-heir. In other words, you have the full inheritance, what God has for you, including in this life and in the next. God has eternal life that he is preparing for you. That's the inheritance that you have right now by being adopted into his family. And the other amazing thing as a child of God is that God gives us earthly spiritual family. It's called His church. And so really this is family. And so this is a gift from God to us as a child of God. And it helps us to walk differently. My kids, they know when they get home, they don't have to ask for anything in the fridge. The fridge is theirs. They don't need to ask to have a bed to sleep in at night. They know I have gifted them a space. I've gifted them a room and a bed. They don't need to ask for certain things in the house. They don't need to ask for my parental responsibility and fathering toward them. They understand it is ours. It's the inheritance. As a child of mine, there's certain things that they don't need to ask for. They have it. And as a child of God, He has given you Himself. And the Bible says that you today, as a child of God, you have every spiritual blessing. You can walk around this week. You can understand, come on, I am valuable to God and I'm valuable wherever I go. I've got contribution to bring. I can make a difference wherever I go. I've got responsibility, and so I can step into any environment and I don't need to be a thermostat. I can be a thermometer in every environment. I can set the culture. I can set the standards. I can set the bar. I can set the work ethic in my environment. I can be who God's called me to be because I am a child of God. I want you to understand you have all of heaven's resource at your disposal. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, God. We just pray, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself through your word. We pray, God, as we've opened up your Bible today, open up your word, and we've spoken right from the beginning, right from the beginning, from the Genesis of time, God. We understand that who we are is right in the first pages, that we are a reflection of you. We are valuable to you. We're responsible and we're a child of God. We pray that understanding and revelation would go so deep within us that it would reach those parts where we feel an orphan. God, and it would rip those parts out of our life. We'd understand, no, we are a son. We're adopted into your family. Those areas that feel in darkness, God, we would open them up to you and your light would shine in that dark place. God, those areas that feel dark, lifeless, God, that your breath would come and breathe in those areas of life today. You would breathe your life that is life in its fullness. Saturate this place from front to back.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.